As we prepare our hearts and minds and ears for the scripture, hear these words. Holy One, through your Holy Spirit, instruct us by the light of your prophets. Illumine our hearts that we may hear your call to become your path into the world. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Our reading today, our scripture reading, comes from the 12th chapter of Romans, verses 1 and 2, and then we take a jump and go 9 to 18. Here we go, the Word of God. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah.
Last week we started our Advent series and waiting room, and there we were reminded out of Isaiah 9 that the promise of Jesus was coming, and he gave this prophecy that this gift was on its way. And they waited over 700 years for this gift, the Messiah. And when they came, they were all disappointed. Didn't look like what they wanted. But what if we take the voice of Isaiah and in the form of two of our own and ask them to ask the question, what is the greatest gift you have ever had? We have some Isaiahs here, Elizabeth and Sarah, who asked that question among you. Let's hear what you said, what was the greatest gift.
Maria? Yeah?
Yeah.
What is the best Christmas gift you've ever received?
Best Christmas gift I've ever received? I can't remember.
Probably the best Christmas gift I ever got.
I guess the first Christmas I had as a mom.
Ah.
What's the best Christmas gift you've ever received? What's the best Christmas gift you've ever received?
It wasn't really a Christmas present. It was kind of an early Christmas present, and it was my new house.
The best Christmas gift I can say I probably ever received was I got a gift card from a student for coffee, and that was a student who did not have the means but still bought me a card for coffee, and it meant a lot to me because this was someone that just didn't have the means at home but still felt nice enough to give me something in that respect. So
that's that's
probably
so
the best
sweet
Christmas gift I ever got.
Very generous. Thank you.
As you see today, those gifts, the gift of love, comes in different wrappings. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we just thank you for your gift, the gift of life, your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable to you this day, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've been known to voice text at stoplights, add reminders and calendar items during a 10-minute commute, fill up silence with podcasts or at least an intentional discussion with my children. Like so many others, I am resourceful about turning wait times into productive times. It's the American way. Today, it's becoming something of a cliche to suggest that our society is in the throes of a theological addiction. Google, we say, is changing how we think. Social media makes us lonely. There are support groups for iPhone addicts. We fumble in our pockets for our phones while we stand waiting in line at the grocery store. We catch up on news or send messages in the carpool pickup line. It's becoming a reflex, a compulsive habit that's rewiring how, not only how our impulses, but also our very desires. We don't abide silence well. We may be losing the ability to wait. That was from an article I read online from Christian Today's magazine. Ashley Hales write this titled, Waiting Time Isn't Wasted Time. You know, I'm a queen of filling up time. I feel like if I'm not doing something, I'm very unproductive. I often think I'm always wasting time. I don't want to waste time as if I can create or take away time. Anybody can relate to that? But I find myself even constantly asking God, what's next, Lord? What's next? Show me my tomorrows, because I'm antsy, I'm so impatient with sitting there, nothing to do. So I find that I am also being impatient with God. Oops. You know, Hale further purports in our article, our impatience with waiting is nothing new. From the ancient Israelites who built the golden calf because they were tired of waiting for Moses to come down from the mountain, to the biblical cries of lament, how long, Lord, how long? And the cries calls for justice, to the point to early churches and to the early churches and our own longing for redemption of all things. We're not waiting people, she writes. Waiting ultimately reorients our stories. We are not the primary actor on stage of our own making or choosing. Rather, God is the hero in of our stories. While we are content to wait in this world, we ask the question, are we content to wait even for God? In between times, what characters will be formed in us as an individual or as a culture? We all know that Advent is a season of waiting. And it focuses on the in-between times. We are between the promise and the promise fulfilled. We have been given the gift and we have unwrapped it and even experienced it. But still we are waiting for one more part to make it even better. We are waiting on the value of waiting. But what that does look like, we're in this in-between stages of life. We're between for our birthday and the day when God calls us home or he comes for his world. This in-between time is not wasted time. We still have work to do. Because when we are given this gift, we unwrap it, yes, and we experience it. But while in this period is a time that we would think of it, we are preparing to be married. And then you're in this engagement period. What you do when you're engaged, you're in that engagement period, we get excited about this wedding that's coming. Can't wait to get it over with and live a blissful wedded life. But in that time of between the engagement and the wedding, it's like the time we're in now. It's the time where we are getting to know one another, know our spouse better. The times where families are being merged. Some we like and some we don't. But it's a time to get to know one another. Is this the time we're in now? This time, there's value in this time that we're waiting on Jesus Christ to come again. It's not a time we just take for granted or show up in church and think that we got it together. It's so much more. We have to be, you hear me say this over, we're still working out this call, this salvation upon our lives. It's what Paul gave us this morning. I count it off. When you go back and read the scripture, you've counted in those small passages, there were like 16 things we can do. 16 things that we could do in the meantime as we wait. We're trying to put value to this time. 16 things that we can do to be working out our salvation, working out to be like Christ. We're on this path not to be like Christ, because we are not Christ, but to be the original human being, the one before the fall, the one that was righteous. That's our strive. That's the path we are on. What that looks like. What did he say? He said things. Yes, Glenn, I'm crazy now. You're not following me right now. But you're used to that. He said, asking us to love sincerely. When you look at that word love, we know we're talking about agape love. The one that's unconditional. We love because God loves. Then he talks about thinking about the sincere. In this translation, it says sincere, but some of the Bible translations say genuine love, not fake love. When you think about when you look at the Greek word, meaning of that word, it's telling us don't be a hypocrite, in other words. You're going to love unconditionally, no matter who it is. That's you go deep with that love. No matter what the beliefs are, you still love. That's the love we're talking about here. We do not be hypocrites with what our love looks like. We don't get to choose who we love. We love because God loves us. We love because we are deemed righteous in the eyes of Jesus Christ, and so is everybody else. Amen? In Revelations 19, verses 6-8, it paints a very picture a glorious wedding when the bride, the God's church, is united with Jesus. We still wait for this wedding day, but in the meantime, we find purpose and meaning by living faithfully betrothed to Jesus Christ. Betrothed to Jesus Christ. We live in the promise, and that promise is transforming us into the people who live out the message of Romans 12 passage. You know, by now, when I'm getting a passage to preach on, I read, if it's chapter 19, I'm reading 1 to 19, see what's happening before that. And I'm reading this whole, start reading Romans, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so good. This is, everybody should be reading this. God is, it's not, you don't even have to guess how to live in the, as betrothed to Jesus Christ. He's telling you step by step. He talking about, start off telling us the gospel, that we must, how important the gospel is in our lives. And we know the gospel is Jesus. And he goes and gives us all these things that we need to do. And then we come to 12 and he's laying it out. These were instructions, one by one, exhortations on how to live as a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't have to guess it. You just need to read it and live it. We understand it's not easy to apply these things in our lives. We understand, not me, I don't need to understand, but God understands that it's not easy to love the way he's asking us to love. Because some people rob us bad, ain't it? And it makes it difficult to love them. But as followers of Jesus Christ, he's telling us to go above that. Remember to whom you belong to and love anyway. It's some hard instructions Paul is asking us to do. Because he's telling us, for we need to let the gospel permeate every aspect of our daily lives. That's the invitation. Having minds of our body renewed by the Spirit. We're not doing it alone. We just have to allow the Spirit to work in us, permeate in us. Help transform us into the likeness so indeed we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. For a renewed mind leads to a new way of living. It involves attitudes and actions that are not conformed to this age. It starts with our mind and trickles down to our hearts. When these things get transformed, our life gets transformed. Think about it this way. The old mind, or the mind conformed to this age in the natural, meaning without the help of the Holy Spirit, is a tall order. But you need the Holy Spirit and extreme discipline that we maybe we need to live like the Orthodox Jews. You know, I always admire, Peter and I neighbors were mostly, we live in a community with a lot of Orthodox Jews, and we know their way of life. They don't separate your religion from the way of life. It's one of the same. There are certain things we can put on a cultural pluralistic eyes and maybe through those lens try to, and say to be a Jew, because they're still waiting for the Messiah. We're not putting our brothers and sisters down. But we serve the same God. There's no separation from the religion, the tradition, and the way of life. Maybe this is what Paul is asking us to do. Not maybe, he's asking us, don't separate our lives from what we know of Jesus Christ. Our lives who are being transformed will give us a living, transform our living. Maybe we should look again at the words that Paul said to us. And I'm going to use the messenger translation of Paul's letter. Maybe you can hear something else in it. My sister read it so from her heart, and the words that speaks to you. But here's another version. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for your dear life from evil. Hold on for your dear life to good. Be good friends. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert servant of the master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. We know about those hard times. Pray all the harder. Those are the times when the times get hard. It's telling us to pray even more. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Lord, help me with that one. Laugh with your happy friends when they are happy. Share tears when they are down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Make friends with nobodies. Yesterday when I was here putting my sermon slides together, I sat there and copying it from my computer to the flash drive, I got a call. Pastor, you have some time? I hesitated because I really didn't, but somehow I knew I needed to answer and take this call. And this person had to tell me about an experience she had. It was going for shopping, and then the Spirit just led her to this man that was needing some help. The nobodies, some would call them. And he's asking for something, and I think money, and she didn't have any money in her, but she said, I only have cards, I don't have cash. But the Holy Spirit, speaking to her soul, and said, there's a bank across the street. She went, got $20, gave this man, who some would call a nobody. She came back. This man was just telling, I tell her this power in the people's story. You know, that's where it happened. Telling her his story. The name. Remember we did get their name? She got the name of this person, made an association with things in our lives so she won't forget the name. She said, I will never forget him. She told the whole story. And at the end, she asked, do you have a church home? He said, I guess if you, sometimes we ask, I get so guilty, you know, I haven't been to church in a while. And then she said, I want to invite you to church. She invited her to the church. And then she had to go because the conversation was getting, you know, over 20 minutes and she had to go somewhere. So that got shut. But here's the thing. When she left, she felt like she was convicted by the Spirit because she said, I remember what you told me, Pastor. We should not only invite them, but take them with you to church. And she felt convicted because she didn't extend that part of it. But it's okay. I said, you planted a seed in there. You stopped and made this person feel as if they were heard. Let them feel as if they were loved. Somebody cared about them. But don't forget the Holy Spirit was moving in that space. I keep telling you, when God is preparing you to walk into your... She was worried that she's missing a blessing because she didn't do that one part. But God is blessing that. We get to bless by that. We just have to be attentive to the work of the Spirit and step into it by faith. That's what we do in the meantime, in the between time, because God has deemed us his vessels and given us His Spirit, the wonderful counselor, to counsel us in that space. You don't have to be, you can just pay attention and show up. Being obedient, no matter to whom. And when they come at you, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everybody. If you got it in you, get along with everyone. The other version said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. As you can see, my friends, waiting doesn't mean inactivity. God wants us to live in obedience to Him and to show love to others. And we know it's not always easy. That is why we need the gospel. This is why each of us need a renewed mind. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to make us different. And this hope we sit in will not lead to disappointment. For Paul writes, as he writes in a few chapters in chapter 5, for we know how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. We need hearts that are saturated in grace to live out these instructions, my friends. They are not easy to do on a daily basis. They are never meant to be done alone. And this is why Christian life is live in community. This is why we have one another. Paul started, said, the brothers and sisters. That's how we started this chapter, knowing that we're going to need one another. But the good news is you're not powerless. What's more, we should view these challenges as opportunity for powerful gospel witness, as you heard me say with my sister who called me on Saturday. What do you think would happen if others saw us living out these principles? Think for a minute. They were the first century Christians who turned the world upside down by living a gospel-centered life, countercultural love. Who knows what will happen if we follow this example? It could be revolutionary. Perhaps it just helps us to think of this waiting room, this in-between times, as the longest engagement you've ever been on without a save the date card. Because we no longer know, we don't know the hour or the time our Lord Jesus will come again. As we wait, it sometimes feels like the groom was like a blender. You know that movie, I love movies. Father of the Bride, one of the versions when the fiancé gave, after 9 months in the marriage, gave them a blender as the anniversary gift. Totally blew the gift in opportunity. Sometimes we don't take opportunities for growth as a gift. When we are growing in Jesus Christ, it's not meaningless. It is full of meaning. It is a gift. The God gave us this gift to grow in Him, grow and deeper in the relationship. Don't take this time in between for granted. I don't know. While engagement and marriage work as an analogy, the imagery encompasses entirely different for every believer who is in a relationship with God. I can't tell you how to do these things. I can just encourage you to be on the alert. Read these instructions. Challenge yourself with each and every one of these things before us today. Because being engaged allows us not only to critically evaluate whom we have committed to, but also to evaluate who we are in a relationship with. Amen? read these passages over and over, my friends. Read them over and over. This season reminds us that God has not promised us every little desires of our hearts. Instead, he has promised us himself. This is one of the key tension that we live in as in our Christian faith, to believe God is good, not despite our waiting, but in it. And perhaps because of it, God is good in our waiting. As we go through these things, reading through Paul's stuff, we recognize that it's really give us a good portrayal of who Jesus is. Because Jesus offered himself as the ultimate sacrifice dedicated to Father's will. Jesus loved us with a genuine love, with words and actions, not with religious pretense. Jesus hates what is evil, loves what is good, and died for evil people to make them good, make you and I good. Jesus loved the brothers and sisters with brotherly affection and as revealing the gospel. Jesus was dishonored that we may be honored. Jesus loved his enemies. He did not have a sword in his hands, but he had nails in his hands. And he said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. This is the Jesus we are longing to meet, my friends. There is value in your waiting, however long the engagement is. Go in this love with Jesus, I ask you. Not just love him, but be in love with him. Because before Jesus exhibits his ultimate love for us on the cross, he invites those who love him to his table. In this church, in our church, we are deemed worthy. Everybody's deemed worthy of this love. That love that came down into a stable, up to a cross, and came back down again for us. So if you will turn with me to your... Did everybody get their stuff? There was a confusion about communion today. You all have your cups? Yes. If not, there are some outside. Go to page 13 for us, please, in your hymnals. There's a question whether or not communion was today, but it's first Sunday. We'll have communions. You ready to hear this love commitment again? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company in heaven, we praise your name and join in our their unending hymn. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take. Eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Oh, hallelujah. Come, Jesus. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and make these gifts of bread and wine, make them for us, your body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry as to the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. You could actually hear Paul's words in those words. It just got me. The body of Christ, broken for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of Jesus' love for you. The blood, new covenant, a cup of salvation shed for you. Take, drink, in remembrance of all that God has done.